So the disciples were gathered in the upper room together, and their friend Jesus had been crucified and died, and they were terrified that the Romans were coming for them as well. It was possible that the crackdown they had feared against the revolutionaries would come to be. What would they do next? In the meantime, they were in that space, that room, when Jesus appeared. Well, most of them, 10 out of the remaining 11, Thomas was not there. Who knows why it was that he wasn't there or where he was when they were gathered? What we know is that Thomas liked clarity and the concrete. He's the one you might remember who challenged Jesus's, let's call them aspirational words about going on ahead. And he said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How could we, us, know the way?" Back in John 14, verse 5. And we know from his courage, he is, after all, the one who urged the disciples to go on to Jerusalem, even if it was to their deaths. John 11, verse 16. Which is a possibility that Thomas had already moved on by that first Easter evening. Or at least he was attempting to do so, attempting to get things back into order. Let's get back to normal already. Can you imagine that? He couldn't believe the witness of his friends. He had been there and seen Jesus crucified just 3 days earlier with his own eyes. Their confessions of Jesus at first seemed out of touch, like an aspirational pie in the sky kind of a dream. I mean, how do you even talk about normal when someone has been raised from the dead? What's normal anyway? In the Acts reading that Carol shared with us, the writer brings us almost a seasonal update on where we are between the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Wait, hold on. And in the meantime, we almost hear the writer say. The writer, Caitlin Curtis here, from Glory Happening, calls us to exactly that. There are meantime things to be done. You and I can hear that in a similar way. There are quarantine kind of things to be done. The God who has provided, who is providing, will continue to provide. Caitlin writes about when she moved to her new hometown, how she and her family found themselves noticing that there were those around them that helped them out in ways they almost couldn't believe. They had to believe where they couldn't yet see. She had pages of kindnesses that had been offered to her family, from a cup of coffee to someone babysitting her boys so that her and her husband could go out on a date, to a new computer showing up when she needed it most. Kindnesses that she couldn't exactly explain how they came to be, but she knew that even though she could not see God, she'd been cared for and provided for. As I read her again this week, I thought of her advice. Make yourself an actual list where God has been a provider so you can look back and see. during this meantime kind of quarantine. Make a note of where you've experienced the very presence of the God we know caring for you. For sure, there are kingdom things, larger things that we can't worry about outside of us that you and I haven't even begun to fathom. But the Spirit of truth and power continues to hold us and guide us and move us through our lives. This season, this Easter season, we move liturgically also into that meantime, in the meantime of waiting with the disciples for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We still have incredible news of the Holy Spirit coming in the resurrection. We see the signs of resurrection all around us every day. The writer of 1 Peter calls it our inexpressible and glorious joy. During these 50 days of Easter, from resurrection to Pentecost, you and I will take this time together to think about how do we spend the meantime, the time in between, while we're waiting for things to return to a normative way of being, while we're waiting for the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven, while we're waiting for God's very own Spirit to come to us personally. What do we do? How do we celebrate some good news of resurrection? I'm wondering if any of you have been familiar with some good news. The actor John Krasinski has developed a weekly broadcast viewed by millions at this point of people on YouTube. We're going to link below if you're curious to check it out as well. Only in this time, but every week on Sunday evenings, he releases a broadcast only filled with some good news. Something you and I have been looking for, I'm sure. This feel-good web show highlights sometimes healthcare heroes who are caring for those afflicted with COVID-19 and went as far as to encourage one cellular phone service to cover mobile phones for healthcare workers for 3 months. As he opined about missing opening day in baseball, the Boston Red Sox opened up their stadium, and a few medical professionals threw out the first opening pitch. The good news is rounded out with images of young and old playing baseball in their own yards with their own families. And in one case, a man who was social distancing by himself, even playing all the roles. God bless him. My heart swells every time I watch it, and I'm reminded there is good news of the resurrection. Where there is good news of new life and creation in one place, it catches on and it changes the space around it. This is not only of the resurrection, but the ways in which we see resurrection and new life in our own midst. In the meantime, you and I have seen the risen Christ. We've seen him in the friend who left paper towels on our porch or who delivered music to our door just so that we might enjoy it. We've seen him in the faces of you who have helped in delivering food to the food pantry and those who came courageously for the first time after your job being furloughed, after being in that same employ for decades. We've seen it in the resurrection of doctors and nurses who danced as a COVID-19 patient is discharged from the hospital. May there be more, thanks be to God. We've not known this specific moment in time before, friends, but we have known challenge and trial before. The hymn that we began our service with today, Christ is Alive, was written by the songwriter Brian Wren. He's a modern hymn writer, and I heard him speak about 9 years ago at Moravian Theological Seminary, where I graduated. He wrote Christ is Alive in 1968, about 2 weeks after Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. And he wrote these words. It was written for Easter Sunday, 2 weeks after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I couldn't, he writes, let Easter go by without speaking of this tragic event, which was on all of our minds. The hymn tries to see God's love winning over tragedy and suffering in the world. The tension and tragedy in these words, not just Easter rejoicing. This points us, friends, not just to the tragedy of death, but the hope and power that comes in Christ's resurrection. So it was the 11 then who were gathered a week later in that room, the upper room together, when Jesus showed up again. 10 of them had lived the resurrection. Of course they believed it. They didn't need to take anyone else's word for it. Thomas wasn't there. But the resurrection isn't good news for just a few. It's for everyone. When they were gathered later, and Thomas was with them, Jesus came again. He invited Thomas to experience the same thing. Put your hand in my side, he said. Put your finger in the places where the nails have been. Can you imagine for a moment how moved Thomas must have been? And he cried out, "My Lord and my God." He knew and he believed Jesus, abandoning all concepts of what normal was and opening himself to a different reality than he imagined it was going to be. Creation is not static, but still happening, and resurrection changes everything. But the passage, my friends, continues. Jesus did more than this. He says, "Do you believe because you've seen?" And he speaks then to you and I. "Blessed are those who believe and have not seen." Jesus challenges and invites us to believe. You see, my friends, the invitation, the future is always open. The good news of the resurrection continues. So where is Jesus calling you to believe where you've not yet seen? Where are you being called to share some good news? And what can you add to the list of testimony that God has changed your life? Share some good news so that others might come to believe. This, my friends, is the gospel. It's the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.